welcome to church this morning. We're glad that you're here. And this Christmas season, it's hard to believe. 2 weeks from right now, we will be done opening our Christmas presents already. That's hard to believe, isn't it? 2 weeks. There are only two Sundays after today left in 2016. And all of us get up bright and early on that Christmas morning, because we all know that good Christians all open their presents on Christmas morning. I've had this battle in my family for quite some time. My wife grew up in a home where they open them on Christmas Eve. And I am doctrinally against that. That's theologically incorrect. There is no way that you can open all your presents on Christmas Eve, because Santa Claus hasn't even come yet. And so I know that's somewhere in here. I'm searching for it. We might get to that somewhere. But how many of you open them on Christmas morning? Let me see. You open them Christmas. See that? I knew this was a good church. I'm not even going to ask about the other folks, because I don't want to get discouraged. Christmas Eve, your family opens them on. See, that there's only a few strange folks in our church here, and that's a good thing. Let me just find out, with 2 weeks left until Christmas, what does that make it? 13 shopping days, because I don't think you shop on Christmas. How many are already done with their shopping? You're already done with all your Christmas shopping. Let's see. Keep them up for a minute. Keep them up. Look around. All of these people have already bought my present. That's amazing. I can't wait to find out what you got me. That you don't know what for a pastor how encouraging that is. And how many of you are almost done? You're almost done. You have a few more. You've started at least. How many of you have not even started? Not even started. Look around. And that's a little crazy. How many of you are like me and you say, if it were not for Amazon, no one on my list would be getting anything this year? You're doing all your Amazon and their two-day. That's the real Santa Claus right there. Their two-day shipping. And I'm not sure what we did with Christmas shopping before Amazon, but we are in the heart of the Christmas season here at Liberty Baptist Church, and many of you have been involved in a night in Bethlehem the last two nights. We have our final presentation of that tonight from 5 to 7. If you've not been able to come through, you'll want to see it. I believe we'll end up having by far the largest number of people come through Night in Bethlehem this year on the three nights. And what a blessing it's been to see each and every one of them given a gospel presentation and being told of the true meaning of Christmas, why Christ came to earth, and having a fun time while doing it, going through the interactive and the petting zoo and all the different things. If you know of any friends or family, neighbors or coworkers that you might want to let them know about it, maybe shoot them a text or post it on social media. Tonight is the final night of that. But it's been, and I'm overwhelmed by the labor and the diligence of God's people here at Liberty, and hundreds of people that have put in thousands of man hours to make that outreach possible. And thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done. If you've not been through it, come by tonight and see that, as we're in the heart of the Christmas season. I read about a mom who wanted her two-year-old to understand the real reason for Christmas. Her daughter's name was Ellie. She explained to Ellie, Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And so she said, because of that, we're going to bake cupcakes for Jesus to celebrate his birthday. And the two-year-old, with all the innocence of a child, looked up to her mom and said, why, is Jesus coming over? And I thought about that. That's a great question for us to ask at Christmas time. Is Jesus a part of our plans? And I know that is with church, but is Jesus coming over? Is Jesus a part of what we're doing? Will we spend his birthday at his house? Will we tell others of his birth? And we're in the middle of a second week, I guess, of a four-week Christmas series entitled Messages from the Manger. And two Sundays ago, we studied God's providence. We're looking at, as you read the story of Christ's birth, what messages, what kind of main themes pop out to you? And we looked 2 weeks ago, it's God's providence. That is, that God is in control, even when it doesn't seem like he is, and God is working in the background, and very often, God is working long before we understand the need for his working in our lives, his benevolent care and foresight in our lives. And we saw that through the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth with the birth of John the Baptist. And when Mary found out she was going to be with child, the angel said, and it was in the sixth month. And we studied through all of that, how that comforted Mary to know that God had been working for months before what came into her life that turned her world upside down came. And so we looked at God's providence. This week, I'm not going to give you the title up front, but we're going to take you through the same two passages that we looked at 2 weeks ago. And we're going to see if you can find and see what one of the prominent messages of the manger is. As we did 2 weeks ago, I'm going to ask you, would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 1? Turn to Matthew 1. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, either a Bible or maybe an app or whatever it might be, there should be a Bible in front of you in the pew rack there. We're going to start and go to Matthew 1, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. put a marker there, if you will, in Matthew 1, and then turn over to Luke chapter 1, the exact same thing we did 2 weeks ago. We're going to look at both of these passages. These are the two accounts of the incarnation of Christ, the birth of Christ as he came to earth here, that are found in the Gospels. They're found in Matthew 1 and Luke 1 and 2. I'm going to encourage you. We have 2 weeks left in the year. I'm going to encourage you to maybe invite some friends to join you for one of those next two Sundays in church and for this series as we study the birth of Christ. And again, that's mind-blowing to think. It feels like it was just a few, just yesterday we were getting ready to enter into 2016. And so you and I, we have 2 weeks left to accomplish our New Year's resolutions. How are you doing on yours? One of my New Year's resolutions was to lose 10 pounds this year. And I'm happy to report I only have 15 to go. And so 2 weeks left, I can do it still, right? We're going to walk through the Christmas story here. I'm going to have you follow along in God's Word. And we're going to look for a recurring theme as the different characters of the Christmas story. And today, I don't have any outline. I don't have any points to give you. There's not going to be points to the outline. Really, it's just one main message. And when we get through the passages and that, then we're going to the message will be done. But I want you to look along with me and follow along in God's Word. Luke in chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26. This is when the angels announced to Mary, Luke in chapter 1, verse number 26, that she was going to bring forth God's Son. It says, and in the sixth month, we looked at that 2 weeks ago, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. In verse 29, and when she saw him, she was what, church? She was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I want you to see it in verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, three words, would you read those aloud with me? The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The angel said two words to Mary. He said three words. He said, Fear not, Mary. Now, two weeks ago, Mary leaves after hearing about this, and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and she spends three months there with Elizabeth. And for the sake of time, I want you to see now Elizabeth, again, background, if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, Mary's cousin Elizabeth is also going to have a miraculous baby. His name is John the Baptist. And so, understanding the characters of the story, Zacharias and Elizabeth are the parents, and God is bringing John the Baptist, who's going to be the forerunner to Christ. His whole job is to announce the Messiah has come. And so he's using Elizabeth to bring forth John the Baptist. We skip down to verse number 63 of John 1. John has been born now, and it says, Zacharias asked for a writing, John's dad, he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, he couldn't speak, he wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Verse 64. And his mouth was open. Zacharias' mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. What are the first two words of verse number 65? The first two words there. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. We see here all throughout the Christmas story fear. Mary is troubled, and the angel says, fear not. And now John the Baptist, his dad, his mouth has been closed for a while here, and he brings a writing table, says, name him John, and they all marvel. He begins to praise God, and they feared. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when God begins to work in our midst, that can get scary. It can be scary when our lives get interrupted and unsettled, even in a good thing. It can be scary when things don't go according to our plans or our thoughts. Life, even in God's will, can be fearful at times. I want you to see Zechariah, speaking of Jesus, says in verse 68, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Zechariah says, basically, the Messiah is coming. God is blessing us. He's going to bring the Savior of Israel. And he says in verse number 74, Zacharias continues to speak, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him. What are the last two words of verse 74, church? Say them aloud. Without fear. Without fear. Now notice verse number 79. He says Christ came to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of what? Peace. Christ's coming was all centered around a main theme. I want you to continue to see it. It's interesting as you study the story and God's word begins to open up and you see it, the same message over and over. Now we have Christ is born in Luke 2. That's the familiar Christmas story that we would often read. And Luke in chapter 2, it came to pass in those days and Mary, great with child, and they went to be taxed into their own city and they're doing all of those things. Now Jesus is born and we come to Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They didn't pick this night. They didn't pick that. They were just, this was their place of work. This was their place of business. These shepherds were just doing what they always did. In verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That was an interesting night in the life of the shepherds. Picture yourself, you're just caring for your sheep out in the fields, dark, nobody knows what you're doing, it's just you and the sheep out there, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appeared, and what happened at the end of verse number 9, and they were, the end of verse number 9, what were they, church? They were sore afraid. Again, we see fear all around the working of God. Verse number 10, and the angel said unto them two words, what? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. They were sore afraid, and the angel said, fear not. Verse number 11, for unto you is born this day, today in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he gives them a sign, and it says in verse 30, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace, goodwill to men. He says that peace, goodwill to men. Now, Mary and Joseph, and we have a long introduction here, as we're going to get to a short message with no points, but you're following along. Now, from here, the babe is born, and we have the shepherds that come and visit him. And by the way, as soon as the shepherds saw him, their lives were completely changed, and they couldn't be quiet about it. They went and spread his fame abroad. And may I say this, when Christ comes into a life, it has a major impact. Christ comes in, we want to tell others of what he's done in our lives as if we're close to him, what we've seen. It's amazing what I've seen, the miracle of Christ. And they go and they spread his fame abroad. And the angels they're going and our common nativity scene has the wise men coming. The wise men didn't come here in this portion of scripture. And they came a little bit later as the baby was a little bit older. But we see here the shepherds go and they leave and begin to spread his fame abroad. And we see as Jesus is 8 days old, they begin and they bring him to the temple. It says in verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's an amazing verse. They brought their baby, the Lord, to present him to the Lord. And by the way, a great example for us as parents, we ought to, if God entrusts us with children, we ought to dedicate them to the Lord. We ought to be faithful in bringing them to God's house and to rearing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I read a statement this week, somebody wrote that said, when missing church is frequent or easy, there's something missing in your hearts. There ought to be a consecration and a dedication in our lives to the things of God. And we see that in the picture of Mary and Joseph. They brought him to present him to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, verse 24, and two young pigeons. And I want you to see it. This is an interesting character that we don't often talk about in the Christmas story. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a great testimony of a man, Simeon. He was just. He did what was right. He was devout. He was committed, consecrated to God. And he was waiting for the consecration of Israel. He was waiting, of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for Christ to come, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost told Simeon, you're not going to die until Messiah has come. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, by the way, as they brought him, they had no idea, but it's just another illustration. It's good to do what we're supposed to do. You never know how God's going to bring people into your lives, but as they did what they were supposed to do, and Simeon went as the Holy Spirit led him, they brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms. Simeon picks up baby Jesus and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart, what are the next two words, church? In peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's for everybody. He's not for one race. He's not for one nationality. He's not for one country. Christ is for everybody. And he says in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. We see Simeon there. Are you starting to get the theme of his birth, the message of the manger? What does he say? Now, God, I can die in peace. Christ's coming brought Simeon peace. Christ's coming brought Mary peace. It brought Zacharias and those around him peace. It brought the shepherds peace. Would you turn where we were in Matthew chapter number 1? You're following along well. I know it's more of a Bible study today, or I guess you would just say we're looking at a lot of scripture. I appreciate the way that you're following along. Matthew 1. Beginning in verse number 18. Now we're going to come to Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privily, privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, what are the next two words the angel said? Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice this, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said, Joseph, don't be afraid of what I'm doing in your life, because I'm going to use this unexpected circumstance in your life for my glory and for the good of the entire world. And he said, fear not. Are you seeing the theme? Have you guessed today's message in the manger? What is it? It's peace. Peace. Over and over again, fear not. Why did Christ come? He came to bring us peace. He came to bring us rest. He came to be the answer to every one of life's questions. Christ is the Prince of Peace. What's the message from the manger to Mary? Peace. Fear not, Mary. God is at work. What's the message to Zacharias and those around him as John is born and they're very troubled and fearful? What did he say? He came that we could live in peace. He came that we could experience the peace of God. He came to bring us peace. What's the message to the shepherds as they were, he says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. What's the message to Joseph? Fear not. Notice verse number 22, and we're almost done with the scripture. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. They said all of this happened so that the prophecies could be fulfilled. If you're taking notes, that prophecy that it's talking about can be found in Isaiah in chapter number 7, verse number 14, where he said that Emmanuel, God with us. There is no greater comfort than the fact that the creator of the universe would come to earth to meet our needs. God sent the ultimate one to bring us peace and rest and comfort. We live in a world that cries for peace but has no peace. We live in a world where countries have upheaval and fighting. We live in a world where families have no peace. We live in an area, a very affluent society in this area, and people have a lot of what the world can offer, but they don't have many times inner peace. Why? Because they don't have the Savior, the Prince of Peace, the one that God sent to bring them peace. God was robed in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, to dwell among us and to die for us. What was the message of all of that? It was that you might live in peace. Not only God's providence, but the peace of God. What did he say over and over? Fear not, fear not, fear not. The one with all power and all knowledge and all comfort is here. Isn't it amazing? There are certain situations that if you have certain people with you, it brings a comfort. There are certain situations, maybe if for a child, when they're sick, there's a comfort to having mom or dad there. There's a comfort when you're in a precarious situation, having a certain person there will bring you great comfort. When that person is with you, if you've ever traveled internationally and you're in a culture that you don't understand and they speak a language that you don't understand, there's a certain comfort to being with somebody that is from that area. They know how to get around. They know how the transportation system works. They know where the dangerous parts of the city are. They know the language. They know the culture. They can help you and not, don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble there. When you have a certain person with you, we traveled a couple months ago with a group from our church to Honduras. And we were there with a missionary about my age. He's been there about 15 years. And I was never fearful at all. He was with us everywhere that we went. He knew who to talk to. We needed to get money changed. He said, oh yeah, there's this one guy at this one block. He sits on a bench right over there, and he's the money. That's where I go to get my money exchanged. And he said, I don't like to go to the bank because there are people that are in the bank sometimes. When you exchange a lot of money, they'll call their friends outside, tell them this guy's coming out with money, and they'll try to rob you. So there's this one guy on this one street in this one block over here. And we go over there, and he's driving around, driving through the streets. Oh, yep, there he is. And he waved at him, and the guy comes to him. How do you know that? And we get our U.S. dollars changed into whatever the Honduran, I don't remember what their money was called, and get that exchanged. Having him there brought comfort. It brought security. It brought peace. There was one portion of our trip where he was in the vehicle ahead of us. We were driving back from visiting another missionary, another orphanage there at Children's Home, and at the Jarvises. We were traveling back. On the road, it was pitch black, 7 or 8 o'clock at night, it was dark, and we're driving on the road, and he's in the truck in front of us, but the Scott's driving the van, I'm in the passenger seat there, and we have our group with us, and all of a sudden, a police officer, there's a checkpoint, he lets that truck go through, and he tells us to pull over. Well, immediately I thought, where's our security blanket? We don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know, Mayamo, it's Ryan Thompson from Liberty Baptista Iglesia, mañana es domingo especial. That's all I know. You know, come to church. Autobus, come through your neighborhood. And I don't know how to speak to this guy. I'm going to invite him to church in Newport Beach. That's all I've got. And Brother Scott's sitting there. He's trying to find the registration for this van. It's not our van. And I'm like, well, if anyone's going to jail, you are. I'm not going to jail. I'll drive all the rest of the way home. And we're trying to figure it out. And then I remembered that sitting in the first bench seat there right behind us was Gloria Gilbert. Well, Gloria speaks fluent Spanish. All of a sudden, there was a peace that came. I wasn't as worried. I knew we hadn't done anything wrong. I was just worried that we weren't going to be able to communicate. Now, she's there. She's from El Salvador. She's not from Honduras, but she knows a little more of that culture. She knows the language. And a peace came because of who was with us on that trip. There is a peace in certain situations, and the same thing can happen in our lives when we don't understand the culture, if you will, when we don't understand the language, when we don't understand the situations, we don't know where to go. Having Emmanuel, God, with us brings a comfort. Having a certain person around us in certain situations can comfort us. I saw that recently with my daughter, Annalise. I think we have a picture of her from 2 Sundays ago. This is at Panera Bread after Sunday morning church. We stopped over, and there's Annalise. She turned 2 in July. And recently, Brother DJ and Sarah asked us to watch their dog for them while they went to visit some family up in Washington. Now, if you talk to Annalise and you ask her, do you like dogs? I like dogs. Yes. You like dogs are nice? Yeah, dogs are nice. She sees a dog today on the way to church. She saw a lady walking 2 dogs on the sidewalk. Mommy, dogs, look at that. She loves dogs as long as I'm holding her. As long as she's in my arms. But Annalise comes face to face with a dog. She doesn't love dogs anymore. All of a sudden, she gets terrified and she gets scared. And you'll hear her, and that's what happened at Thanksgiving. And we had the Usen's dog, Bailey, and I was sitting on the couch. I don't remember what we were doing, and all of a sudden I heard, no, Mom, Daddy, 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 and she's running. She's screaming, the voice of terror, screaming, running away, and you hear her little feet pitter-pattering in the hallway, and she would be screaming, Bailey, Bailey, it's going to get me, and she's scared to death of this dog. Now, that's understandable because Bailey is a pretty big, aggressive, fairly ferocious animal. I don't know the exact breed. I believe it may be a distant cousin to the full-blooded wolf. I think we have a picture of Bailey here. This is the dog. That's Bailey right there. That instilled great terror. That ferocious animal instilled great terror in my daughter. I think I think actually she's a cousin to a mouse, more not a, I'm not sure, not a wolf. But Bailey instilled great terror in my daughter. My daughter's bigger than Bailey. She could pick up Bailey. She could probably, you know, she's stronger than Bailey. Bailey is not a very big dog. But that dog instilled terror, and there was no great fear in her life. And she would scream, "Daddy, Daddy," and run away. And when I would go pick her up, you could feel her heart beating in her chest. You could feel the terror. And then in just a few moments when she was in Daddy's arms, immediately it was, "Bailey's nice. I like Bailey. That's a nice dog, huh, Annalise? You like Bailey? Yeah, she's a nice doggy. I like, you want to go pet Bailey? Yeah, that's as long as she was in my arms, she's fine around the dog." And as that happened at my home over Thanksgiving break, I thought, isn't that the same way it is with us in our Christian lives? Sometimes the things of this earth that really shouldn't scare us, relatively small trials in our lives can induce fear, can induce terror. And you know what the answer is? The peace of running to the Father's arms. The peace of Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, what the whole message is, there's peace. No matter what you face, there's a Heavenly Father that loves you. No matter what you face, there's the only begotten Son that gave His life for you. No matter what happens, the Creator of all of this, the Creator of the universe, the One that's in control, the One that knows the language, the One that knows the culture, the One that has all power, is come to, He came, was robed in flesh to die for you and for me. He's Emmanuel, God with us, that giver of great peace in our lives. He came to bring peace. He came to bring peace through the gift of salvation. That is the message of the manger. What we just read, it says in verse 22 that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. As I mentioned, that's in Isaiah 7:14, where it says that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The prophet Isaiah also said about Jesus, I believe we have this verse for you to see on the screen, Isaiah 9:6, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," and here it is, the what? Prince of Peace. The Prince of what? Peace. That's why he came. Emmanuel, he's the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace to a broken world. He came to bring peace to fearful hearts. He came to bring eternal peace, yes, but even peace in the midst of our struggles and peace in the midst of our trials. And so I ask you this morning, do you have peace in your heart? It might be because you don't know the Prince of Peace. You've never accepted Him as Savior. You don't have God with us because He's not your Savior. Or, you know what it might be? My daughter didn't have peace even though her father was in the house. She wasn't in the arms of the Father. She wasn't in His presence. She wasn't in close fellowship. She was on her own. And sometimes when we get away from the Father, the fears come creep in, don't they? The terror, we find no peace at work, no peace in marriage, no peace in our daily lives, no peace in our relationships. What do we need to do? We need to get back to that Prince of Peace. The Bible says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What does it say in Philippians chapter 4? "Be careful, full of care for nothing, but in everything, by with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." Daddy, Daddy, I'm scared. And it says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He is the only one that can truly bring peace to a life. It is only as we cast our care upon Him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It's been said, no God, N-O God, no peace, N-O peace. No God, K-N-O-W God, no peace, K-N-O-W peace. If we truly know God, we will know peace because that is what He is. And in closing, it wasn't just His birth at Christmas time that brought peace. It was also His death. In John 14, verse number 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again that you may come with Me." He says, "I'm getting ready to leave." And then at the end of that chapter in John chapter 14, verse number 27, He tells them, "Peace I leave with you." I'm leaving, But here's what I'm leaving. I'm leaving my peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let me say this. He wasn't saying, I'm leaving you a life without trouble. Because he was leaving the disciples in a place where they were going to be hated. They were going to be persecuted. They were going to be scattered abroad. People were going to be looking to put them to death. And by the way, they were going to put all of them to death. He didn't say, I'm leaving you in a world without trouble. He said, I'm leaving you my peace in the midst of a world with trouble. And so Christ came. His birth was all about peace. Fear not. Fear not. Good tidings of peace, great joy, peace on earth, goodwill to men. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I came to bring peace, and as I leave, my death is going to give peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so the question has to be asked, are we living in the peace that he gave? If you're without peace this Christmas, listen to this statement, please. If you're without peace this Christmas, you are either without Christ as Savior or you are without him as friend. He's either not your Savior or you've drifted away from him in your relationship. And you're not allowing, he said, I will leave the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. God was all about bringing comfort and peace. Again, not always eliminating trouble. Not always taking away the burdens. He said, sometimes we'll carry the burdens together, but we can cast our care upon him. He didn't promise a life without trouble. He didn't promise a life without heartaches or burdens, but he promised, I came to give you peace in the midst of storm. Christ came to give you peace. He is peace. It's who he is. It's why he came. It's why he died. It's what he brought, and it's what he gives. And so I ask this morning, do you know him as Savior? Have you allowed the Prince of Peace? What's the message of the manger? For this series, really all that I did was I just read through the Christmas story multiple times over the last several weeks. And I just, maybe a month or two ago, I just started reading. And I just said, God, I want you to show me what I believe are the main themes, the main messages. There's no way I can cover them all in 4 weeks. But the first one was providence. God's providence. 42 generations he was preparing to bring forth Christ. Remember we saw that in the lineage in Matthew 1? God's providence, his loving care. And then I couldn't get away from it as I read over and over. Simeon, peace. Joseph, fear not. The shepherds, peace. Mary, fear not. Over and over and over again, he's the Prince of Peace. If you know him as Savior, are you living in the peace and rest and comfort that he wants his children to have while they are here? There is no need for the Christian to fear because peace personified came to earth to die for us. What do the Christmas carols say? We just sang it. His gospel is peace. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, mild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's it. No outline, no points, just the main theme woven all throughout the Christmas story. He wants you to live in peace. I didn't say always easy ease. I didn't say never a burden. I said the peace that Emmanuel, God, is with us. If you don't know the peace that the Christ of Christmas brings, I would encourage you, invite him into your life today. Maybe for some of us, he's our Savior, but we've gotten away from his presence. And that angry, ferocious chihuahua of life has us scared to death. You know what it's time to do? Run back to the Father's arms and say, I'm sorry, God, I got away from you. I need peace in my life. Dad, I know that Bailey can't do anything to Annalise. I mean, she could snap at him, but Bailey's not going to do anything. I know that, but she doesn't know that. The Heavenly Father knows that that thing that has you all torn up, that thing in your life that you're so burdened about, he knows. He's not going to let anything happen that is not under his control, but when we're not in his arms, we don't always know that. And our hearts, they beat, don't they? And we run and we're scared and we cry out. We've tried to figure it out. What do we need? We just need the Father to pick us up. And all of a sudden, life's good, isn't it, Dad? Yeah, life's good. I like dogs, Dad. Look at Doggy. Bailey's nice. Well, Bailey's not nice when I'm not with the one that brings peace. But when she's with the one that brings peace, the one that has more strength than her, the one that knows that is not has does not have the fear that she has, it brings peace. How about you in your life? How about me and mine? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these simple thoughts. But I don't know that it's anything new. We sing about peace as it relates to Christmas all the time, Lord, and the Prince of Peace. I don't know that it's a new message, but I pray that it's a helpful one this Christmas season. I pray if there be any here this morning that do not know you as Savior, they've never accepted the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal peace and life with you. I pray that this morning they wouldn't leave without accepting that gift. And for those of us that have been saved, but God, we're not living in peace, I pray we'd remember the message of the manger is God came to bring us peace. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in a moment, the piano is going to play a song this morning. We're all going to stand together, and as God has spoken to your heart, maybe some would say, you would say, I don't know that Prince of Peace. I've never accepted his free gift of salvation. What I'm going to ask you to do, if that's your case, I'm going to ask you just to slide out of your pew and come forward and let one of our pastors know, I don't know the Prince of Peace. I want to be saved. I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to know that. Would someone show me from the Bible? It would be the honor of our lives to do that. I'm going to ask you to slide out. For some of you, you're saved, but you say, you know what? I've gotten away from the Lord. I need to come back to the arms of the one, the only one who can bring me peace. The altar will be open. Maybe you have a special need, a friend, a relative you're praying for. The altar will be open as the piano plays in just a moment. And as it does, let's ask God to continue to work in our midst. Lord, I do pray that you would work at this time of invitation. I pray that you would speak to hearts. Use us. Use your word. Use this message in our lives. God, may you truly bring peace, is my prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand together as the piano begins to play a song of invitation. The altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart, would you come forward at this time or let somebody pray with you if there's a special need in your life? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I thank you for your word and for the truths that you showed me in the last couple of weeks as I studied this. I pray that your spirit would have communicated that which, Lord, my limited vocabulary did not convey. I pray that all of us would understand the reason you came to bring peace, spiritual peace, to bring salvation, eternal life. God with us, may we tap into that peace that is available to every person is my prayer. In Christ's name, amen.